Thank you so much for joining us today. We would love to hear how God is using this ministry to touch your life. So please, take a minute and send us your story to mystory@crossroadscb.org. And if God has used this ministry to touch your life in any way, we want to encourage you, partner with us financially. Help us continue delivering God's word to the world. You can visit crossroadscb.org to find the giving option that works best for you. Thanks again for joining us and enjoy today's message.
We're in the 10th week of the sermon series, Boldness. Everyone say boldness. Through this series, we're looking at some of the bold men and women of the Bible and their moments of boldness. From slaying giants, facing kings, standing for truth, to risking their lives. And today we're going to continue to look at Esther. We're going to zoom in on a moment of fear in Esther's life. At the end of chapter 3, Haman convinced the king to make a decree to destroy all the Jews. And guess what, church? Esther was a Jew. And in Esther 4:4, the Bible says that when they had told Esther what had happened, that a decree had been made, she was seized by great fear. See, what she heard caused her to fear. Because what you hear can cause you to fear, believer. And so Esther had a great reason to be seized by great fear. It's like when someone hears something or sees something that causes them to freeze. How many's ever been frozen in fear? She was frozen in fear. Another translation says she was stunned. How many's ever been stunned? Has anyone ever been stunned by a stun gun? A couple criminals in the house. There are some really great videos on YouTube with cops stunning, using stun guns on criminals. You got to check them out. I laugh for hours. Hey, if you're going to be that stupid, hey, we've all had moments of stupidity, right? Yeah. But a stun gun immobilizes a person. Church, fear will immobilize you, but faith will mobilize you. Fear will freeze you, but faith will free you. Come on, somebody. And Esther was frozen in fear. She had a moment where her fear was bigger than her faith. How many have ever had that moment where your fear was bigger than your faith? But praise God, it was just a moment. Too often, moments turn into months, even years. As a pastor, I see this all too often. A moment of fear turns into a lifetime of fear. Fear of the unknown. Fear of what tomorrow might hold or not hold. The Greek word for fear, most of you know, is phobia. And there's so many phobias that I can't even begin to list them. But there's one phobia, it's called phobophobia. How many know what that is? It's the fear of fear. It's the fear of fear. And I wonder how many of you would be honest this morning and say, I've been walking in fear. Pastor, I've been living in fear. I'm standing in a moment of fear this morning, or I've had my share of fears. Anyone? Whatever the case, would you please stand to your feet? Come on, all over the sanctuary. Don't be afraid. You're in the house of God. So you've never had any fears. Man, I want your faith. I want those people's faith that are sitting on their rears. They've never had fear. Yeah, that rhymed. Second Timothy 1:7 says, God hasn't given you a spirit of fear, but of power. Let me preach. You just listen. You just listen. Second Timothy 1:7 says, I haven't given you a spirit of fear, but of power. God, I pray right now that you would take away the spirit of fear in this place. God, that you would remove all fear from your people in this sanctuary today. To those viewing online, remove the spirit of fear and replace it with a spirit of power. God, give us power over fear. Give us faith over fear. Fill this place with faith and boldness today, God. Let me speak prophetically to you. You might have walked in fearful, but you're going to walk out fearless. You might have stood up in fear, but now you're standing in power. And by the end of the sermon, you're going to be standing in faith. Can somebody shout hallelujah? You might have walked in fear, but you're going to walk out in faith. And for those of you with swag, you're going to be strutting by faith. Oh, come on, we're about to have a modern day Jericho march up in here. Fear doesn't stand a chance when we stand in faith. How many are standing in faith? Let me see your hands. Okay, praise God. Now you can sit down in faith. I know you're ready to walk up out of here in faith, but I've got an awesome sermon to preach. And so you got to sit in faith for about an hour or so and hear me preach. Because faith comes by hearing. And when I finally do say amen, you're going to walk out of here in faith. See, fear is the opposite of faith. The Greek word for fear is phobia. The Greek word for faith is pistis. Phobia or pistis, fear or faith. But church, sight is also the opposite of fear. Or faith, sorry. The Greek word for sight is optic. If you can see it, it's not faith. If you know the outcome, it's not faith. If you know exactly where you're going, that's not faith. It doesn't take faith to use Google Maps. It tells you exactly where you're going, when to take the next turn, and what time you're going to get there. That's not faith. But taking directions from a good old boy, it says about 3.5 miles down the road, you'll see a leaning tree. That's my street. Take a right there. And the 10th house on the left, I mean the right, that's my house. That takes faith. See, faith is going without directions. Faith is not knowing the outcome. Faith is believing even though you can't see it. And not knowing when in the world you're going to get there. That's faith. Faith is stepping into the unknown. The title of my sermon today is Purpose Prevails. Everyone say purpose prevails. I want to start in Esther chapter 4, verses 13 through 14. The Bible says that Mordecai told them to reply to Esther. Do not imagine that you in the king's palace can escape any more than all the Jews. For if you remain silent at this time, liberation and rescue will arise for the Jews from another place. And you and your father's house will perish, since you did not help when you had the chance. And who knows whether you have attained royalty for such a time as this and for this very purpose. Let us pray. Father, we come before you as our God and our Savior. God, I pray right now that you would anoint this sermon from beginning to end, from the first word to the last. Anoint the receivers. Anoint ears, hearts, minds. God, anoint this servant, the deliverer this morning. Anoint my voice box. Anoint my throat. God, I rebuke every attack of the enemy right now in Jesus' name. Speak to your people. God, I pray that by the end of this sermon, each and every person will be standing in faith. And so, Father, speak right now in your mighty name. Everybody says, amen, amen. Mordecai Mordecai was confident in this moment. He was standing in faith in this moment. But like Esther, and like all of us, Mordecai had a moment of fear where his fear was bigger than his faith. In verse 1, it says that Mordecai tore his clothes. He put on sackcloth and ashes, and he went into the city, and he wept bitterly and loudly. One translation says he wailed bitterly and loudly for all to see. Church, he was basically having a big pity party, a public pity party. How many's ever had a public pity party? For those of you that post online seeking pity, that's what a public pity party is. How many pity seekers are in the house? That's what Mordecai was doing. He was seeking pity. But let's just say, instead of a pity party, he was having a fear party. I said he was having a fear party, biker guys, not a beer party. That's not the same. Fear party. He was scared. And he let everyone know it. And his fear caused everyone else to fear. So his fear party turned into a great big fear party where all of the Jews were weeping and wailing publicly for everyone to see. So his fear caused them to fear. Think about it. You've got this guy who is bold and confident. Remember, he refused to bow down publicly, but is now weeping and wailing publicly for all to see. And so his fear caused them to fear, and they're all overcome with fear. How many know that your fear will cause others to fear? Their fear said, we're going to die. Their fear said, there's no way we're getting out of this, because fear says no way, right? But remember, church, faith says some way. Somehow, somewhere, God will come through. Mordecai said, if you remain silent, our rescue will come from another place. The contemporary English version says, we will get help somehow. Everyone say somehow. The Voice translation says, help will come from somewhere. Everyone say somewhere. The Message Bible says, from someplace else. God's Word translation says, someone. Everyone say, some way through someone. Mordecai said, God's purpose will prevail some way through someone. But this is your purpose, Esther. Will you fulfill it? Will you step into it by faith? And this is what I believe that Mordecai was trying to say to Esther. Either your faith or your fear will determine your fate. Let me say that again. Either your faith or your fear will determine your fate. But this is your purpose, Esther. God's purpose will prevail either with you or without you. But you can play a vital role, girl. This is your purpose. Step into it. In Ephesians chapter 1, verses 13 through 14, I want to read it from the Message Bible. It says, it's in Christ that you, once you heard the truth and believed it, which means faith, right? Once you heard the truth and believed it, that's faith. This message of your salvation found yourselves home free, signed, sealed, and delivered. Praise God. We are signed, sealed, and delivered through him. This down payment from God is the first installment on what's coming. A reminder that we'll get everything God has planned for us. A praising and glorious life, which means our fate. Point number one, your faith seals your fate. Oh, come on, church. I say your faith seals your fate. Turn to your neighbor and say, your faith seals your fate. Church, our fate determines our fate. Our faith determines our fate. Your faith signs, seals, and delivers your fate. Proverbs 19:21 says that God's purpose prevails. God's purpose will prevail either with you and through you or without you. Amen. Period. But God's purpose for your life, your fate, is determined by your fate. Your faith. Sorry. And Esther's faith sealed her fate. She was made for this moment. This was her purpose, church. She was positioned in the palace for this very purpose. See, God's plans for your life are never random. His purpose for your life was written before you were even born. So every stage and every season positions you for your purpose. And somebody needs to shout hallelujah. See, fear can see things as an accident, but faith sees them as fate, as a purpose. Faith says, I'm standing in this moment for a purpose. This is my purpose. You are standing in a moment of purpose today, church. Each and every one of you. You have a God-ordained purpose in life. God has plans for your life, plans for success and not for failure. I am standing in my moment this morning. This is my God-ordained moment to be standing on this stage, preaching this sermon that God gave to you today. And I will fulfill my purpose by faith. Will you fulfill your purpose by faith? Esther was standing in her purpose. Her purpose was to save the Jews from being annihilated. The church has the Esther calling today. Believers, you have the Esther calling upon your life. Your purpose is to save the lost from being destroyed by Satan. Your purpose is to rescue the lost, the bound, the broken, the addicted from the claws of the enemy. From his lies and his deception, or from his pitchfork, however you see the devil. That's your purpose. If you're a believer, that's your calling. You're called to seek and to save the lost. Not just to watch them die in their sin. Hello. We all have family members, friends, co-workers, classmates that we know that if they were to die today, God forbid, they would spend eternity in a devil's hell. That should break your heart because it breaks the Father's. But let me ask you this, what are you doing about it? It's not my calling, Pastor. Yes, it is. It's your calling. We need Esthers to rise up in this hour. Speak up, stand up. Use their voice, their platforms, their pulpits to save this great nation. We need some spiritual Esthers in the church today. Esther was standing in her moment of purpose, but she had a choice. Either faith or fear, phobia or pistis. Which one would it be? And while faith seals your fate, fear steals your fate. That's point number two. Fear steals your fate. See, the fate of many believers has been stolen by their fear. Believers, don't let your fate be stolen by your fear. Let faith seal your fate. Mordecai said, help will come from someone. But church, Mordecai was speaking of divine help. He says, somehow, some way, somewhere, God will come through for his people. God will be the help that we need in this hour, is what he is saying. And let me speak that to the church today. God will be the help that we need in this hour. He will come through for his people, some way, somehow, somewhere. He's not going to abandon us or neglect us, because he said, never will I leave you or forsake you. Not even for a second have you been left behind. Have you been abandoned? He's not going to abandon us in this hour. Although it might look like it, he hasn't. He's working even though we can't see him. Because remember, the battle belongs to who? The fight belongs to you, the fight of faith, right? And you have to face the fight by faith, but you don't have to fight it, praise God, because God does the fighting. In the Good News Translation, it says, help will come from heaven. Can somebody praise God? Help will come from heaven. See, the help that we need in this hour will come from heaven. God will come through for his people. He always does. But I want you to notice that although Mordecai had a moment of fear, his faith prevailed. For a brief moment, his faith wavered, but ultimately his faith prevailed. See, faith isn't being without fear, believer. It's persevering through fear. Point number three. When faith perseveres, purpose prevails. I said, when your faith perseveres, God's purpose prevails in your life. Mordecai had a purpose. His purpose was to prepare and to position Esther for her purpose. And Mordecai prepared and positioned Esther mentally and spiritually. He prepared and positioned her faith, church. He encouraged her to use her platform, her voice in the palace, her position in the palace for God's purpose. So not only did Mordecai's purpose prevail, but so did Esther's. But more importantly, God's purpose prevailed. See, when your faith perseveres, your purpose prevails. But more importantly, God's purpose prevails. Mordecai's purpose was to prepare and position Esther for her purpose. Sounds like Mordecai had a pastor's calling. Because as your pastor, my purpose is to prepare you and to position you for your purpose. Let's go to Ephesians 4, 11 and 12. Now these are the gifts Christ gave to the church, the apostles, the prophets, the evangelists, and the pastors and teachers. So according to the word of God, you can leave this place today. According to the word of God, according to this verse, you can say that I am God's gift to you. Praise God, somebody. Right? I better keep going. Verse 12, their responsibility is to equip God's people to do his work and to build up the church, the body of Christ. This sermon is preparing and positioning you for your purpose. This sermon is preparing and positioning you to face something by faith in the future. Let's go to verse 16. Go gather together all of the Jews who are in Susa and fast for me. Do not eat or drink for 3 days, night or day. I and my attendants will fast as you do. When this is done, I will go to the king, even though it is against the law. And if I perish, I perish. Esther said, go gather, church. We gather here today not out of ritual. We gather for faith. The church, the ecclesia, is at its heart a gathering of people, a body of people, a community of people, a connected people, ultimately the body of Christ. Some people say, Pastor, you can believe in God and not go to church. Yes, you can. You can believe in God and not go to church. Anyone can believe in God. Satan believes in God. He doesn't go to church. Or maybe he does, but for the wrong reasons, right? But he's not welcome in this church. He's never showed up to this church because this church doesn't give him a footstool. Amen. We've got a great big sign on the door that says, not welcome, Satan. So he knows better, right? But if you want to use that as a cop-out or as justification for your laziness, your disobedience, or your unfaithfulness to God's holy word, go right ahead. But it's almost like saying, I'm a student, but I don't have to go to school. I'm an employee, but I don't have to go to work. Hello. To be a believer is to be a part of the body of Christ. Right? Because believing isn't enough. We have to live out what we believe. We're not just called to believe, we're called to be believers. We're called to believe together. We're called to gather together. We're called to be a community. We're called to be the body of Christ. And to be a part of the body of Christ, guess what? You have to be a part of the body of Christ. Are you with me? If a church stops gathering, it can no longer claim to be a church. And so if a believer doesn't gather, if they don't go to church, can they claim to be a believer? I'm going to leave that on the table. You chew on that because I already know the answer. According to the Bible, the New Testament, church isn't an option for the believer. No, we're called to gather together. But being the church isn't just about gathering in a building. Hello? It's about gathering together. In Acts 2:46, the Bible says the early church, the disciples, gathered together in the temple, in the church daily. But it doesn't stop there. It says they met together daily in their homes. They broke bread together. They fellowshiped daily. So being a believer and being a part of the church isn't just coming to sit together in church. It's sitting together outside of church. It's doing life together. That's what we're called to be. Hebrews 10:25 says, this is not the time to pull away and neglect meeting together, as some have formed the habit of doing. In fact, we should come together even more frequently, eager to encourage and urge each other onward as we anticipate the day dawning. This word neglect in the Greek means abandon. And this Greek word means someone who is extremely discouraged. Because when you neglect and abandon church, you become extremely discouraged. How many has ever missed church for a time and you were extremely discouraged? Come on, there's hands all over this sanctuary. See, when you neglect and abandon the body of Christ, you become extremely discouraged. We gather for encouragement. We gather to urge one another on. We gather to encourage one another in the faith. It is not possible to live fully as a believer in isolation. In Genesis 2:18, God said, it is not good for man to be alone. And listen, if God our Creator said it's not good for us, guess what? It's bad for us. It's hazardous to our health. Believers, it is not good for you to try to live this Christian life on your own. God stated that Adam needed a helper. And this word helper means someone who supplies strength in the area that you're lacking. Church, we need helpers. We need someone who will supply strength in the areas that we're lacking. This church is filled with helpers. People who will supply strength in the areas that you're lacking. If you walk in weak, guess what? There's someone here who's strong. If you walk in lacking faith, I guarantee you there's someone here with the faith to move mountains. See, being faithful to church will help you stay faithful. Oh, come on. I said being faithful to church will help you stay faithful. I can't tell you how many times I've walked into a church faithless, but walked out faithful. How many have ever walked in to a church faithless, but walked out faithful? I want you to think about this. Jesus, the Bible says, is coming back for his church. And he's going to gather his church together, like it or not. He's going to gather his church together. There's no longer going to be any denominational lines, no different beliefs. We're all just going to be gathered together as the big church. And praise God, what a day that will be. And guess what? When we get to heaven, we're going to gather together as the church. And there's no opting out. I can't. I'm going to sleep in. No, we're going to gather together. So we might as well stop refusing gathering together on earth. In verse 16, Esther asked all of the Jews to fast for her. The Voice translation says, intercede for me. See, intercession is standing in the gap for someone. And Esther asked the Jews if they would intercede for her night and day for 3 days and three nights. Seems like a lot to ask from people, right? It'd be like me saying this morning, church, I want you to fast the next 3 days. I want you to fast for me that God will give me the desires of my heart, right? He'll open the door. He'll give me that dream home. Praise God. For the next 3 days, how many are committed to interceding? Okay, but you can't eat anything the next 3 days either. Everyone backed out. But keep in mind that it wasn't just Esther's life on the line. All of their lives were on the line. Esther was just signing her death penalty, or expediting her death penalty, by facing the king. But I want you to notice what is required to give Esther the faith to face the king. It's prayer, church. It's prayer. See, because when your life's on the line, a 3-day prayer meeting is required. Not a 3-minute prayer meeting, no, a 3-day. And Esther asked the Jews to pray with her and for her for 3 days. And then she said, then I will go see the king if you'll join with me in prayer. See, Esther approached her heavenly king before she faced her earthly king. But think about it, church. Their prayers gave Esther the faith to face the king. Their prayers released faith for Esther in this moment. Another great reason why we need each other. We need people that will stand in the gap for us. We need people that will pray for us and intercede for us daily. See, your faith or your prayers will give someone the faith to face their mountains. And their prayers will give you the faith to face your mountains, your obstacles, your situations, your storms, your addictions. See, Esther had the faith to stand because they kneeled and prayed. Let me say that a different way. Esther was able to stand in faith because they kneeled in prayer. I don't think you understand, probably don't even know or comprehend how much your pastor prays for you. Listen, church, I pray, or I kneel in prayer so that you can stand in faith. In fact, I kneel daily so that you can stand daily. I kneel and pray that you'll have the faith to face today. That you'll have the faith to face your mountains, your obstacles, your storms, your situations in life. I pray that you'll have the strength to overcome your addictions daily. And that you can walk in freedom. See, I pray daily so that you can walk in faith daily. Now, how many know that prayer releases power? Because there's power in prayer. And so prayer releases power and prayer releases faith. Esther said, then I will go face the king after you join with me in prayer. She says, without being summoned, which is against the law, and if I perish, I perish. Church, that's a great definition of boldness. I mean, doesn't that embody this series? She said, if I die, I die. This is probably one of the greatest examples of faith in all the Bible. See, Esther knew that it was very possible that she would die by facing the king without being summoned. After all, the queen before was completely vanished for disobeying the king. That's why her name was Queen Vashti. She was vanished, right? But Esther was taking a risk, but she took the risk. Although reluctant at first, she was bold at last. Although fearful at first, she was faithful at last. Point number four, her faith prevailed. When faith prevails, power is revealed. Come on, church, when your faith prevails, God's power is revealed. Great revelation comes through great faith. God's power is revealed and discovered by faith. God's power is revealed and released when you and I walk in faith. So we can say that faith releases power. Your faith releases God's power. And so not only does, when faith prevails, not only is power revealed, it's released. God's power is released. And so when faith prevails, purpose prevails. Think about it. When your faith prevails, God's purpose for your life prevails. I told you at the beginning of the sermon that by the end that you would be standing in faith. How many of you have the faith to stand this morning? Come on, if I could get Kylie, you on the keys. See, right now, as you stand in faith, God's power is not only just being revealed in you, it's being released because you're standing in faith. All over this sanctuary right now, power is being released because we're standing in faith. For those viewing online, please stand with us so that power can be released into your homes, into your circumstances, into your situation. So whatever it is, believer, you walked in, that's caused you to fear, that's given you phobia throughout your life. Maybe fear of the unknown, fear of a circumstance, fear of a situation, because you can't see the outcome. If God is telling you to take a step of faith, by faith, take the step. God, I pray for each and every person that walked into the sanctuary today. Those who are viewing online. God, there is no one here by accident this morning. God, you drew each and every one of us together here in this place today for a purpose. You've got a plan. And God, I pray that those who walked in fearful would walk out fearless. God, those who have been living in fear would begin to live in faith. We know that your word says that it is impossible to please you without faith. And so, Father, this morning I pray that this house would be filled with faith. You would fill hearts, minds, lives with faith. And no matter what they're facing, that you're in control. And God, as we stand in faith, I pray that power would be released into the sanctuary today. And God, that we will leave this place in faith, knowing that you are in control. And Father, if there's anyone here today that doesn't know you as their Lord and Savior, but God, you've been dealing with them the whole service. You've been speaking. You've been ministering to their heart and to their mind. And God, the step of faith that they need to take today is literally a step of faith. To believe in you, to accept you. And so, Father, Holy Spirit, move on those individuals, those who will view online. If you've never given your heart and your life to Christ, and you say, Pastor, I want to take that step of faith today. I don't understand it. It seems kind of scary, but I know I can't go another day without taking it. Is there anyone in the house? Say, Pastor, I want to take that step of faith. If that's you, will you raise your hand? I got you, brother. I got you, brother. I got you, sister. I got you, sister. Father, you see every hand that was raised in this sanctuary today. And God, they want to take a step of faith and accept you as their Lord and Savior. There is no greater step. Oh God, my heart rejoices and celebrates this moment in time, God, that you planned, that you knew where they would be. Maybe rock bottom, maybe searching. But God, they didn't walk into this place by accident. You drew them into here so that their life could be forever changed. And Father, I pray that as they take this step, as we lead them into this step of faith, that it would not be a one-time step, that it would be a daily step, that this step of faith would lead to following you daily. Plant them into the church of God, into your word, and Holy Spirit, lead them and guide them daily as they trust you. It's right now, those that raise their hands, and we're going to say a prayer. We're going to ask Jesus to come into our heart and make us a brand new person, to forgive us of all of our sins, and to welcome us into the family of God. And I want to just say that before we say this prayer, that this is the greatest moment of a pastor's life, being able to lead people to Christ, taking a step to give him their life. And as I pray, I want you to repeat after me, everyone in the sanctuary. And then after we say amen, I'm going to ask you to take a step of faith and come up here. And we're going to pray over you tomorrow when you leave the place today, because the enemy will come in like a flood. He will attack your heart, your mind, your decision today, your commitment to Christ. He'll try to lie to you, deceive you, and get you to walk away. But once you ask Jesus to come into your heart, you have the full assurance that never will he leave you or forsake you, that he'll be with you every step of the way. And so when the enemy comes in like a flood, he'll raise up a standard. But you've got to walk by faith and say, get thee behind me, Satan. I am a child of the living God. Let's pray that prayer. Heavenly Father, I ask you to come into my heart, to make me a brand new person, to forgive me of every sin that I've ever committed. Wash me white as snow. Jesus, I believe that you are the Savior, that you died, was buried, and rose again, that through your death, I have life, eternal life. And thank you for saving my soul. Can we celebrate with these this morning? Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. And now, and I know it's going to be uncomfortable, but I want to ask you to just come and meet me up here. There was about four or five of you that said, I want to take that step of faith. Will you meet me up here? And this body is going to join you. They're going to put their hands on you and pray for you. Thank you, sister. Let's give her a great big hand. Praise God. Come on, brother. Praise God. Welcome to the family. Joe, praise God. All right. Why don't you raise your hands towards them? Let's just pray over these as they took this amazing, awesome step of faith today. Father, I pray right now that you would guard these precious lives. And God, in the days and the moments ahead, the enemy is going to lie, deceive, and try to rob them, because we know he's a thief. He comes to kill, steal, and to destroy. But God, you have come to give us life, abundant life, eternal life. And so, Father, guard them. Guard their hearts, their minds, their lives. Walk with them, lead them, guide them. Never forsake them. And Father, I pray that as a church body, we will surround them and that we will pray for them daily. We will stand with them daily. We will encourage them daily. We will take them by the hand and walk them daily. And so, Father, guard these precious servants, these new disciples, these new believers who are brand new in Christ today. We thank you for them. Move in their lives in a mighty way, God. Honor them for their faith today. In your mighty name, amen. Amen. Let's give them one more big hand. And let me say this to you, brother. Faith honors God, and God honors faith. Amen. So praise God. We've got some devotionals for you before you leave today. And I want you to start a daily devotional. Stay into the Word. All right. I'm going to close in prayer. Father, we thank you again for this time that we had together as a church, as the body of Christ. And God, as we step out of this place today, I pray that you would guard each and every person. Put a hedge of protection about your people. God, as the bikers go out today on the open road, keep our travels safe. Let us return home safely. And God, I pray that each and every person would be led by you, and that day by day they would fulfill their purpose in you, for you, and through you, in your name. Everyone says, amen. Amen. God bless each and every one of you.